Hey, Rock Pod Nation, welcome back to another high voltage, power cord crunching, amp blowing episode of the Rock Pod. I'm Jimmy, the guy who once tried to wear a schoolboy outfit to a Halloween party, only to be asked which British prep school I escaped from. Today, we're diving deep into the Aussie juggernaut that is AC/DC, the band that made three chords, dirty jokes, and Marshall stacks into an art form. They've outlived trends, buried critics, buried members, and still somehow crank out thunder every time they hit the stage. Strap in, grab a pint, and for those about to listen, we salute you. Welcome to the Rock Pod. It all started in Sydney, Australia, 1973. Two Scottish-born brothers, Malcolm and Angus Young, formed a little group that would eventually become AC/DC. And if you're wondering, yeah, the name came from their sister Margaret's sewing machine. AC/DC is an alternating current, direct current. Power electricity. You get the vibe. These boys weren't into hippie jams or prog rock epics. No, they wanted loud, lean, and mean. Angus's schoolboy outfit, that wasn't a gimmick cooked up by a label. That was his sister's idea. She figured it'd make him stand out on stage. And it worked. And he's been headbanging in a blazer and shorts ever since. Their first lineup included Dave Evans on vocals, but it wasn't quite clicking. Enter Bon Scott in 1974, a former drummer, part-time Hellraiser, and full-time Wild Man. With Bon in the band, the real AC/DC was born. They dropped albums like High Voltage and TNT in Australia, filled with bluesy riffs and cheeky lyrics. She's got balls. Anyone? By 76, they were heading to the UK, where punk was exploding and hard rock was still a force. You ever hear Live Wire for the first time and think, yeah, this sounds like a bar fight just broke out in my speakers?
Well, if you're looking for trouble,
let's talk Bon. Ronald Belford Scott, born in Forfar, Scotland, raised in Fremantle, Western Australia. Bon had lived a thousand lives before AC/DC. He'd been in a pipe band, been a drummer in multiple groups, and even served time in juvie. He once called himself a street poet with a rock and roll heart. With Bon at the mic, the band recorded a streak of classics. Dirty Deeds Done Dirt Cheap, Let There Be Rock, Power Age, and Highway to Hell. That voice? Raspy, snarling, with just enough mischief to make you feel like he knew where all the best bars and worst decisions were. Bon was once arrested for drinking and driving on a moped. I mean, if that doesn't scream rock and roll outlaw with a soft side, I don't know what does. Highway to Hell came out in 1979 and blew the roof off the scene. It was their biggest album yet, but tragedy struck in February 1980. Bon Scott died in London. He was only 33. He didn't just leave a void. He left behind a pair of shoes that most singers wouldn't dare try to fill. The band nearly called it quits. Losing Bon could have ended AC/DC, but Malcolm and Angus soldiered on, and they brought in a guy from Newcastle named Brian Johnson, former frontman for Gordy. Brian could wail, he could scream, and he brought a working-class grit that fit like a glove. Their first album with him, Back in Black. No pressure, right? They recorded in the Bahamas with producer Mutt Lange, the same guy who'd done Highway to Hell. And what came out was pure, unfiltered rock alchemy. I mean, Hell's Bells, Shoot the Thrill, You Shook Me All Night Long, and of course, Back in Black. Released in July 1980, Back in Black is one of the best-selling albums of all time. Over 50 million copies sold. And the title? A tribute to Bon. The black cover the bells tolling. It was an elegy wrapped in thunder.
Rock pod.
By the mid-80s, AC/DC was a household name. Even your mom knew You Shook Me All Night Long, even if she pretended she didn't like it. They dropped For Those About to Rock, We Salute You, in 81. Complete with real cannons on tour. That's not a metaphor. They rolled out howitzers. During the For Those About to Rock tour, they used so much pyrotechnics that some venues literally banned them after one show. The rest of the 80s had a few hits and a few misses. Albums like Flick of the Switch and Fly on the Wall were less polished, but still pure AC/DC. ...1990s, the Razor Edge landed like a lightning bolt. Thunderstruck became a global anthem. Angus's intro riff, one of the most instantly recognizable guitar licks of all time.
Rock pod.
If AC/DC had a motto, it might be, don't fix what ain't broke. Ballbreaker in 1995 brought them back to basics. No synths, no frills, just riffs, sweat, and swagger. Produced by Rick Rubin. It was raw and mean, just like the old days. By this point, they were certified road warriors. Their tours were epic. Packed arenas, pyros, massive rigs, and Angus duck walking for miles in that same old uniform. Here's a fun fact. Angus Young's schoolboy outfit? He's worn over 35 variations of it, all custom made, and all of them soaked in sweat by the end of a show. They followed with Stiff Upper Lip in 2000, bluesy, groovy, and underrated as hell.
Rock pod.
The 2000s were a bit of a roller coaster. Malcolm Young, the band's backbone, stepped down in 2014 due to dementia. He passed in 2017. Stevie Young, Malcolm's nephew, took over rhythm guitar duties and did the family proud. Drummer Phil Rudd had some, legal issues in New Zealand. Let's just say they involved meth, house arrest, and some very creative life choices. Chris Slade came back on drums. Then Brian Johnson had to leave due to hearing issues. But wait, they didn't stop. They brought in Axl Rose. Yeah, that Axl. To front the band for a tour. Say what you will, but he did the job and honored the catalog. Then Power Up hit in 2020. A full-on tribute to Malcolm. Brian was back. Phil was back. Cliff was back. Angus was, well, still Angus. It was like the universe realigned.
Rock pod.
Now let's not overcomplicate it. AC/DC never wanted to be fancy. They don't do ballads. They don't do concept albums. They do riffs. They do volume. They do raunchy, sweaty, rock and roll better than just about anyone. Bands from Metallica to Guns N' Roses to the Foo Fighters have cited them as major influences. And here's the wild thing. They've stayed relevant for over 50 years with barely a change in formula. No reinvention, just relentless consistency. Angus once said, I'm sick to death of people saying we've made 11 albums that sound exactly the same. In fact, we've made 12 albums that sound exactly the same. Truth. All right, Rock Pod Nation, that's a wrap on AC/DC, a band that turned a couple of chords and a truckload of attitude into a decades-long reign of fire. Whether you came for Black and Black, stayed for Thunderstruck, or discovered them at a dive bar on a Saturday night, one thing's for sure, AC/DC isn't just a band, they're a damn lifestyle. If you like this episode, crank it up. Tell your friends and remember to hit rockpod.com for more thunder, more madness, and more stories that make rock and roll the beautiful mess we love. I'm Jimmy. Till next time, keep your amps loud and your drinks louder. If you like today's episode, smash that like button. Also, be sure to follow the Rock Pod so you can stay up to date on the latest episodes, and be sure to tell your friends about us. Want to show your support for the Rock Pod? Hit that donate button and buy us a cup of coffee. Every little bit helps. Research for this episode by me and GPT. Music by the band Silvertrip. Music on this episode, Live Wire, Dirty Deeds, Highway to Hell, Back in Black, Thunderstruck, and For Those About to Rock by AC/DC.